And this would be another view of a different temple that we pass on the waterway. It faces just out on the water. And this would be yet another temple, and this is clearly built right on the water. Now, this slide is not very good, but we thought it was really nifty because if you see, that's an SL, or Exxon, gas station built right along the waterway. In fact, the traditional Thai boat is fairly small, and it seats one or two people comfortably with various cargo. And it's you get around by using poles pressed against the bottom. However, most of the boats that we saw were either boats of roughly the same speed, but very high speed with the motor power, or also the buses, which were significantly larger motor power but didn't move quite as quickly. And however, we did see some children going to school in their uniforms on the family boats, and they pulled their way across and apparently to their school. The next slide is of a section of the Kwong that is not developed, and not all of the Kwong had was thick with building. They also had some jungle-like sides. We also met all sorts of boats on the Kwong. This would be a small boat, the sort of a family boat. If the family wasn't that well off, if they were well off, they'd have a boat. Roughly that same width, but perhaps twice as long, with a fast little motor which extends to the rear. Not too deep, it would be a long sort of blade which they stick in, and it would go quite quickly. But we also saw a lot of these smaller boats, and this would be the sort of boat that the school children would ride to school in, which is perhaps where the father is taking his daughter. Also, if you look at this picture, I think that he is wearing a sarong, which he has done, of course, with a male. It only has to cover his, from his waist down. With a woman, it has to cover somewhat more. And the men also have the option of tying it up between their legs so that it's sort of like a pair of pants. Along with the small boats, you also saw some medium-sized boats. This would be a rice barge. And you should look closely at the rice barge, because in fact what you see is a very small portion of the rice barge, that which extends upward. That would be a fully loaded rice barge. And the next picture will be of some rice barges that aren't quite so heavily loaded. So in fact, the rice barge that you saw earlier would extend 2 yards or so forward of what you were actually seeing, but that would be submerged, and a yard or so behind, perhaps. And again, that would also be submerged, but they're heeled all the way up, and the rice barges would be pulled by tugboats. This would be a completely empty rice barge. They really believe in loading their barges. And along with those medium-sized boats, you also have some large-sized boats. This boat would probably be suitable for going out in the ocean. I think this might be a fishing boat. They'd also have some cargo boats which make different stops around the Pacific. And toward the end of our water tour, one of the last things we visited was a really super-sized monument. I guess it's the same sort of corn cob shape that's so common there. After this, they took us back. Again, we got a little aggravated. Tour started at our hotel, where they picked us up in a van, and the van stopped by different hotels and picked up other people, and then took us to the wharf where they hired a taxi bus, or a water bus, which took us to the different places we stopped. After we got off the water bus, we got back into the van, and instead of taking us straight back to our hotel, they stopped at a quote-unquote factory outlet, a jewelry factory outlet, where there were free cokes and nice displays, and that lasted, and they left us there for 20 minutes, half an hour. Again, we were almost certain that the guides got a kickback, but we looked at the stuff in about 5 minutes and were ready to go. We had to wait for the rest of the folks. We were a little disappointed because throughout our travels, we'd come to be suspicious of quote-unquote factory outlets which provide free transportation or free cokes or something, because of course there's a very high overhead to maintain these nice displays and to provide you with transportation. And of course that overhead is made up for in the prices they charge. And since most people don't buy at those places, those who do buy have to pay for all the nice features for everyone else. So we try to avoid that sort of places. And throughout our stay in Thailand, we kept trying to find a marketplace where there would be several small shops who didn't advertise, who would be competing with each other for selling souvenirs. And we couldn't find them anywhere. We'd go to the hotel lobby and ask where a good place, and they say, "Oh, I can recommend you number one factory outlet where they have all sorts of good carvings that you're interested in, and they'll come by and pick you up, free transportation." I said, "Wait a minute, we're not interested in that, because we'd done that in Hawaii for a clothes manufacturer and found out that in fact it was mostly a store where they were trying to sell their souvenirs." But anyway, we had tried asking all sorts of people, and anyone you ask, you know, "Where can I get cheap wood carving?" They'd say, "Oh, I know the place, let me tell you," and they'd have all these good deals, and we'd say, "Uh-oh, sounds expensive." And Barbara had the really good idea of going to the Yellow Pages, and it turned out the Yellow Pages was in English. We looked under souvenirs and found a great many listings, perhaps two or three pages, and we went scanning through for one area. We found two such areas where there were a lot of shops in the same area. And sure enough, we went out and the prices were a half to a quarter as much as the prices we've been seeing at the other areas. So, one of the last things the water market tour was a visit to this one particular monument. This is the first view we had. We then went to the other side, and that's where we parked the water bus, and we got out, and sure enough, there were stairways up it, so we started climbing, and I think we got up to the third level, which is like three quarters up the way. There are stairs around the back. And as you climbed it, you realize that from the distance, it just looks like a massive monument, but when you get closer, it's really quite impressive with lots of different decorations, and all of it is in bright shiny tile, and there's just an incredible amount of detail considering its massive size. And this is an even closer view so that you can see that everything was done quite nicely.
It's really a very unusual monument. I think the colors were sort of pastels, and it was constructed out of what looked like glazed ceramic. It was a very sort of slick, shiny appearance, and the steps up to it were so narrow and so steep that by the time you got up, Brian says maybe the full thing was about five stories high, and there was a little breeze blowing. You were just out in the open, you know, you and the sky, and I was really sort of afraid to come down. It was quite an impressive monument.
The steps up to this monument, along with up the others, were quite around Thailand, were pretty much the same. They would tend to be about 18 inches high and 6 inches deep. So you, when you're climbing up, you have a problem that you can't put your full foot onto a step. You either put your foot sideways to get your whole foot on, or you just get the tip of your foot, and you have a quite high step up between them, which makes it a very steep and difficult climb up. And of course the worst climb is, as Barbara said, climbing down, because there you have the full height below you, perhaps five stories, with very little in between you and the bottom, and you're looking straight out at it. So sometimes you're tempted to climb back down backwards as opposed to going down the way you normally would a stairway. Anyway, from the top of that pinnacle, you got a pretty good overview of